Hey guys, welcome back to the Pew Review, episode 4. It's been an eventful week, and it's been exciting because we are in Holy Week. And so what this podcast is about is we take questions from our congregation, whether it be about faith, scripture, anything with lessons learned during sermons, and we would just want to share those out with our community. If you have any questions, we'll include the phone number that you can text your questions below, or you can submit them via the Connect cards that we have here at the church. And I'm your host, Matt Jared. This is our lead minister, Jed Shermer. And let's get into some questions. Jed, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Our first question today is going to be based on James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. Yep. And why don't you go ahead and read that for us, Jed, and we'll get into some of these other sub-questions here.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm actually going to back up a couple verses. I'm going to start in verse 2 and read 2 through 8. It says, "Consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect so that you may be mature, complete, lacking nothing. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for the doubters is like the surging sea driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded and unstable in all his ways." So there's a lot going on here. So let me kind of start with some basic understanding of what wisdom is in general. I think a simple way to understand wisdom is it's God's way, which sounds almost too simple. But if we think of it in this, if we think that God is all-knowing, omniscient, and all good, then wisdom, right, doing the right thing, doing the wise thing, can only be what God would do because he is all-knowing and all good.
Yeah, and it makes sense because, I mean, Proverbs clearly dictates that, you know, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Yeah. So it makes sense to start with that as the foundation.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. And so yes, and that's going to come into play with doubt in this passage is if we understand wisdom to be God's all-knowing and all-goodness, then to doubt actually comes into play of doubting his character. And so that's going to come into play. But when do we need wisdom? And this is why I started reading in verse 2, is because we need wisdom when we face trials of many kind.
You bet.
That's when we need wisdom, is when we come to a fork in the road and we have to decide, are we going left or are we going right? And so part of this passage that I love, and in studying this, is there's a reciprocal nature between wisdom, prayer, and faith.
Okay.
And so that's what it's kind of getting into and helping us understand. And so, you know, a big thing in James, right, one of the famous things known about the book of James, you know, if anybody's going to remember a passage from James, it's the faith without works is dead. And so faith is wisdom lived out. Faith is, you know, I think of it, maybe you've seen it. There was a TV show on Netflix that was became super popular. It was called The Squid Games. And they have to do these series of, there's people that are kidnapped. I don't know if I should actually be promoting the show. People are kidnapped. They have to do all these challenges. One of the challenges is they're standing on this platform with a row of glass in front of them. And there's two different ones and then two different ones. And they have to decide. There's a 50-50 chance of it not breaking or not each time they do it.
Oh, goodness.
And so they have to figure out by trial and error, essentially, which ones to step on as they go. Now, wisdom is knowing which one to step on. Faith is stepping on that correct one.
Okay.
Does that make sense in the distinction between those two, right? Wisdom is knowing. Faith is action.
Okay.
And so that's important. Now, how do we get wisdom? How do we develop our faith? And this is where prayer comes into the relationship between all three of these, is one of our initial reactions to a fork in the road, to facing trials of many kinds, mm-hmm. should be, God, what do I do here? Mm-hmm. God, what is the right way to go about this so I know where to place my faith? Where, mm-hmm. hey, I'm going to step this direction and knowing this is what God told me to do. Mm-hmm. And so that's the direction I'm going to head, because this is where wisdom is. This is where my faith tells me to go. Mm-hmm. So that's how these are all connected, mm-hmm. Prayer, wisdom, and faith. Now, verses 6 through 8 starts to deal with the doubt. But let him ask in faith without doubting. And it talks about the danger of being divided. And this is important. You know, in the Jewish faith, they had the Shema, which was one of... you know, it was a thing they would hang on their doorposts. You know, it was something that they would recite all the time. And it comes from Deuteronomy 6:5. And it's the famous, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Mm-hmm. And before that, it says the Lord our God is one. And then it goes into that. But we can't be divided on that aspect. Mm-hmm. We have to love the Lord our God with all, right? All of ourself. And there's so many examples of people being divided on that mm-hmm. front, and it causes them issues. And so Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed.
Yes.
The wisdom is, hey, you need to leave the city, right? Lot, you take your family, leave the city, you know, don't look back. Mm-hmm. Now Lot's wife was divided.
We know what happened.
Yeah.
And that the turning of the pillar of the salt, that's, that'd be a poor outcome.
Yes. And so she was divided on listening to worldly wisdom versus godly wisdom. Mm-hmm. And because of that, she turned back and looked and turned into a pillar of salt. Mm-hmm. There's other examples of the same. You know, Israel was a huge example of this. God's wisdom, them stepping out in faith, was crossing the Red Sea, but they had this awful problem of continually looking back towards Egypt. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to die in the desert. We should just go back to Egypt. Mm-hmm. We've been better in Egypt. And they kept having mm-hmm. this divide that God is trying to work out of them.
Yeah.
Trust me. And this is where we get Deuteronomy 6:5 mm-hmm. is this constant divide that he's trying to work out of Israel. Another one that I can think of is Jonah. Mm-hmm. You know, Jonah, part of it was his fear of the Assyrians in Nineveh. Mm-hmm. They were brutal to people. Mm-hmm. But we learn in the later portion of the book, a bigger driver for Jonah was he didn't want God to forgive them. It was about worldly mm-hmm. wisdom versus God. And he didn't want to step out mm-hmm. in godly wisdom and faith. Which then led him to being eaten by a giant fish.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
And so we can't have it both ways. Mm-hmm. And so, this type of doubt is not an intellectual doubt of God's existence, but more of his character, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. To doubt God's way is to say you are either not all-knowing or not all-good. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important and something that we have to understand when it comes to wisdom, because sometimes God's wisdom is really challenging for us mm-hmm. to step into.
Oh, yeah.
But we do have to understand that you are then saying that God is either not all-knowing because mm-hmm. he's pulling you into something that's not the right course, mm-hmm. or he's pulling you into something he knows is not good, saying that he's not good. And issues with that, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so that's kind of what this passage is getting at when it talks about wisdom, is this connection between wisdom, faith, and prayer, and then how we can't be divided. We either have to follow God or, you know, we're going to follow the world and have issues. And that's what he, you know, a double-minded person is unstable in all his ways. Mm-hmm. Now, we kind of have a sub-question that partners with this, mm-hmm. Which is often we talk about praying before we study the Bible. Mm-hmm. Before you go into Scripture, you should pray to God. So what are we actually praying for.
Yeah, or how to pray for.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. I think when it comes to praying before studying, I think a good place to start is the areas where we lack and what we can't control. Mm-hmm. Let me talk about control, because as humans, we like to mm-hmm. control everything. Mm-hmm. But we don't. We do not control everything. Something that's out of our control are our own presuppositions when it comes to studying the Bible. Mm-hmm. We grew up in very, you know, somewhat similar. We grew up both in small towns, mm-hmm. but different churches. We had different teachers. Mm-hmm. We had different parents who led us in different ways of teaching the Bible. Mm-hmm. So our natural inclination towards reading the scripture is going to be different. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that is we need to be able to remove ourselves as much as possible.
You know, in reflecting on that, it's interesting that you mention it that way, because, you know, the thing that comes to my mind, at least anyway, is, you know, like in the Lord's Prayer, it talks about your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then it sort of gets you into that mindset, even when Jesus talks about it, to just sort of give you, it gives you the permission to relinquish and just trust in that his way is best and his will is going to be for the best outcome. And I just, it's awesome in just a reflection how that manifests itself, even with Jesus talking about it.
And I know that's a big cultural thing, that we talk about our implicit biases and mm-hmm. different things. And I'm not going to get into that political conundrum.
Yeah.
But we have, you know, our environment that we grew up in impacted the way that we're going to see scripture. Mm-hmm. Our culture that we are currently in, you know, someone from the U.S. is going to read scripture different than someone from outside the U.S. Things that we've been taught, you know, I went to a Bible college, had particular professors with particular views. Mm-hmm. I know that impacts sometimes the way that I study and read scripture, mm-hmm. Sometimes for good and sometimes mm-hmm. maybe not. And then there's a huge part that we have to be aware of. Maybe the biggest thing that we have to be aware of is our desire for what we want to find. Mm-hmm. And we see this all the time. People want to find particular things in scripture, and lo and behold, they do. Mm-hmm. Now, is that because it's actually there, or because they forced it to be there because that's mm-hmm. what they wanted to find?
Certainly.
And that's a big issue. That's a big thing theologically and in our hermeneutic to try and avoid. We need to try and remove as much of ourself as possible. Mm-hmm. Now, that's hard. Which is why it's something that we lack some control of.
Now, in your opinion, is it possible to remove 100% of the bias?
No.
Just trying to do your best each and every time.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you're not going to be able to remove 100% of it. Mm-hmm. I think the best thing that you can do is to have that in mind when mm-hmm. when it comes to studying the Bible. And then, as you know, I'm getting into, this is where we come to God and ask the Spirit, hey, help me see past myself. Mm-hmm. I know this is here somewhere. Help me see beyond that. Mm-hmm. And so we need to, that's one of the things that we should be praying for is, you know, God, I pray that you help me see beyond myself and to see what you have for me in mm-hmm. your word. And so that should be something that is in our prayer as we pray it when studying.
Very good.
Another thing is understanding, which is more of something maybe we lack, right? Mm-hmm. That might be something that we are lacking in. And I want to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 6 through, I have 6 through 15. I'm probably not going to read all of that. But this again is speaking of wisdom. And it says, we do, however, speak a wisdom among the mature, but not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. On the contrary, we speak God's hidden wisdom in a mystery, a wisdom God predestined before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age knew this wisdom, because if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen nor ear has heard, no human heart has conceived, God has prepared these things for him who love him. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between knowing and understanding. Mm-hmm. I can know scripture, yet lack understanding. And we need to be people who seek understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, that's kind of a scary thought to just be able to know it, but not to understand it. I mean, it's a constant, you know, check on myself, even just like, I mean, you want to make sure that you have the right intentions and the right understanding, or else it's not going to do anything to help.
Yep. Well, and that's right. Like, it's seeking the answer to the question, what do I do with this? Mm-hmm. That's what, when we're seeking understanding, that's what you're doing is what, okay, so you gave me this, what do I do with it now? Mm-hmm. And I think of like, you know, what do we do with James 1, 5 through 8? What actions is this pushing us towards? And so I think for an illustration to help understand this a little bit, right? Imagine we use AI all the time. Mm-hmm. It's going to be more and more. So imagine we had AI write this complex piece of software code. Mm-hmm. It's intricate, layered, filled with specific and specific logic, purpose, interconnected functions. It's mm-hmm. got all these different things that are a part of it, right? And this is scripture. Mm-hmm. This is what scripture is. And as humans, we can read the lines of code, which is, you know, the words of scripture. I can read the words of scripture. I can analyze the code syntax. Mm-hmm. I can study in scripture the grammar and the literary devices that are used. Mm-hmm. We can try and develop the history of the code, which again, you know, in scripture would be the historical context of the individual passages, right? We can study all of that. Mm-hmm. And after all of that, we might extract some basic functions or information. Mm-hmm. But what do we also need? We need the AI's intent, what algorithms were used, its design philosophy, the purpose of certain variables to have a deeper understanding mm-hmm. of why it did what it did in the code.
Certainly, that makes sense.
And it's the same with scripture. We need to understand God's intent with giving this to us. Mm-hmm. We have to understand what he desires for us to see out of this. And if we take a very just straightforward, logical approach to this, it's only going to take us so far. Mm-hmm. We need to be able to have the Spirit's guidance and wisdom to provide the underneath understanding of all of this. And this is why in the second half of that 2 Corinthians passage, it says, "For who knows a person's thoughts except his spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who comes from God, so that we may understand what has been freely given to us by God."
That's so good.
And so part of praying when studying the Bible is, God, I know there's only so much on my own that I'm going to pull out of this. Mm-hmm. I need your Spirit to help me understand your thoughts, your intents, your purpose is behind these things. And so mm-hmm. God, help me in this time to pull that, to have that, to let that impact my life. And so the last thing that I think we should be praying for is courage. And I say that because what is the point of studying the Bible, you know, digging into this, if we never do what it tells us? Mm-hmm. Right, to go from knowing to understanding is foolish if we don't put understanding into practice. Mm-hmm. I'm learning more about God, right? Like, well, I'm studying and I'm learning more. Well, that's great, right? Mm-hmm. It's good to learn about God. But if it's not driving you to action, mm-hmm. that's not faith.
Right.
And so, which again, comes back to the whole thing with the book of James. Mm-hmm. Faith without actions is dead. And so I think we need to pray before even reading a text, mm-hmm. right? Before we read it, I think this is important, right? If I, you know, flip my, you know, don't just flip your Bible open and start reading. But if I'm studying Romans 8, then I need to come to it before I even start reading and say, God, give me the courage to do what this says. God, give me the courage to step out into faith of what this means and to do what it says.
It's a bold prayer.
And I think we have to pray that, though.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when given wisdom, I'm going to step faithfully in it, because otherwise it would be a failure to believe that God is good and all-knowing. And so we have to.
The one thing that I really admire about that, too, is that, you know, just from an application standpoint, I think about the first time that, like, when my son jumped into a swimming pool into my arms for like, the first time. So, you know, you get that mindset of, like, as a child, I am scared to jump into this deep end with my dad being the only person that has his arms out and saying, I'll catch you. I'll catch you. And, I mean, you know, Samuel even had a life jacket on and he was still nervous.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
But once that moment hits, you take that step of faith, you ask for, you take that courage and you take that jump, and you see how God has provided for you, or your father has provided for you, or how I provided, you know, to, like, being able to catch Samuel in that moment, how much that reinforced his desire to keep repeating that behavior too. And it's just a reflection of how God provides for us too. You know, if we specifically ask for that wisdom, how he's very abundant in giving it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes. And so, yeah, I think that's kind of the answer to James 1, you know, in talking about wisdom is, you know, we face something, we come to God, I need your help in determining which way I go. And maybe that's even coming to scripture and trying to study passages and saying, God, show me in your word how this helps me in this situation.
You bet.
But the end result needs to be, I'm going to, in faith, step into whatever wisdom God gives me. Because if we're not going to listen to God, if we're not going to step into that faith, I think that passage also points out that he's just going to stop. He's going to stop giving you the wisdom if you're not going to listen to it, if you're going to rather follow the ways of the world. Because, again, essentially you're saying, I doubt your character, God. And so he's going to, if you don't want to listen, that's fine. Then I won't give you my wisdom.
Man. So crazy.
Yep. So okay, good. That's
second question. So yep. Now our third question revolves around spiritual gifts.
Yes.
And so you want to give that one?
So there's kind of three different things that we're going to be looking at with spiritual gifts. And again, we keep bumping into topics in this podcast in which we should just have like a series of five episodes about. So we're going broad, generic.
Yeah.
Overview of spiritual gifts. We're going to talk about how do I figure out what my spiritual gift is. We're going to talk about do spiritual gifts change in order to fit in with the local church, and then how do spiritual gifts differ from natural talents, or are they the same?
Oh, those are good.
So we're going to be talking about those three things and kind of giving an overview of maybe a stepping off point for you to go into your own study of spiritual gifts. Now, the hard thing with spiritual gifts, I've read several books on spiritual gifts. I've done some my own personal study on the passages that deal with spiritual gifts. And they are maybe one of the most frustrating things in the Bible.
Well, and to your point, even there's even other denominations that it seems like they put a little bit different emphasis on different spiritual gifts too, which can also you know, compound the confusion too.
Yes.
So I totally get where you're coming from.
And so one of the things that I've boiled down, there is not a formula to determine spiritual gifts. Back in the day, and I've even used these before and I've stepped away from it, there used to be spiritual gifts tests or spiritual gifts inventories that you could take. That were essentially personality tests to try and help you figure out where your gifting might lie. The big issue with that, again, is it's personality driven. And this kind of gets into the idea of our spiritual gifts in line with natural talents. And the answer is basically no, right? Because those things are natural. They are things that are ingrained in us, while spiritual gifts are in their very essence and nature supernatural.
Yeah.
Right. And so let me talk about that a little more.
Yeah, please do.
And so, again, the issue with natural talents is it's personality driven. Now, does that mean that that God hasn't built in from birth or being grown up with certain things that he can use for the good of his kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
I think absolutely he does that. That there are things in our life that God uses for his own purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he's even put those things in our life so that we can do that.
Yeah.
You know, several examples of this. You know, me from a young age was involved in things that were in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
From a young age, I was doing, you know, different music stuff or whatever mm-hmm. That put me in front of people, that got me comfortable on a stage, whether speaking, singing, dancing, mm-hmm. all the sorts of different things in yeah. front of people. And so I've always found a comfortability in preaching because of that long history.
Now, did you find yourself when you were younger, was that something that you've always had that comfort of speaking in front of people and doing things in front of people, or do you feel like that had to be nurtured a little bit as yeah. you were developing?
Oh, it was absolutely nurtured.
Mm-hmm.
It took time. It took, you know, it took being pushed into many mm-hmm. of those things. My mom was constantly encouraging me in those fronts. You know, to, you know, do music specials in church or...
It's ironic how parents do that.
Participate yeah. in all the music things and mm-hmm. different things like that. And so, you know, no, it was definitely nurtured. And I think without that in my childhood,
mm-hmm.
My natural, more introverted self would struggle a lot more on a stage in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
But I think having that in my background has made it more natural, and I think God has used that in my life to make preaching, teaching, things of that in front of a congregation easier for me.
Very cool.
Another example of this, a couple of years ago I had a conversation with Mark Leonard,
mm-hmm.
Who was the camp manager at Camp Noboa for a long time, and we were in the middle of this project that we were now wrapping up, the new dining hall, and he spoke about, you know, feeling like a lot of different things in his life led up to being able to accomplish that.
Mm-hmm.
He worked in the banking system for a long time and had a good handle on how finances work.
I never knew that about him.
Yeah. And then while he's been at Noboa, he's been a salesman during the off season.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew what to do with money to use it well.
Mm-hmm.
And then he knew how to gather money and to, you know, do fundraising through mm-hmm. his time as a salesman. And then all the years of working at Noboa and, you know, working with the buildings and doing stuff, he says, you know, I just feel like God has put all of those different things in my life so that we could accomplish this.
Mm-hmm.
And so
a true titan.
I absolutely think that God uses experiences and talents that we have in our life for his good purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are those spiritual gifts? I don't think they're spiritual gifts per se.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there has to be some distinction between those and spiritual gifts
mm-hmm.
In that, again, spiritual gifts are supernaturally given.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it has something that has never been a part of your life, that all of a sudden you have a knack or a talent or a gift for.
Mm-hmm.
A place to start with spiritual gifts. If you want to study spiritual gifts, a good section of scripture to study is 1 Corinthians 12 through 14.
1 Corinthians 12 through 14.
Yep, those chapters, 12, 13, and 14. And it's really interesting to me. Chapter 13 is the love chapter, right? That's the famous yeah. love chapter of love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, mm-hmm. that we use in weddings all the time.
Yeah.
And And it's smack dab in the middle of two long discourses on spiritual gifts. And so...
That is ironic.
I find that interesting. But, again, so those are some... I'm going to be pulling some of the things that we're going to be talking about with spiritual gifts from those chapters. Now, one of the things that it says in chapters 12 is that the Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person as He wills. The Spirit is the one who decides what gifts you get in what measure and when, how. Mm-hmm. He is the one who decides all of that. Mm-hmm. And so it's His choice how He distributes all mm-hmm. the gifts. Now, in these chapters, what you'll see is these gifts are directly tied to the edification of the church. Mm-hmm. They are directly tied to the mission of God. And so something that we have to be very careful of, spiritual gifts are not for us to be baptized, give these supernatural powers, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden go do whatever we want with them.
Right.
They are for the purpose of God's mission. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's very important. Now it also speaks to that people can have more than one. Mm-hmm. It's not that you are given one particular gift. Mm-hmm. You might have more than one, but it is very specific that nobody possesses all of them. Mm-hmm. It's in this that it talks about the unity of the body.
All parts, yeah.
Yes, and all parts have their part to play. And if people possessed every spiritual gift, mm-hmm. Then we'd have the issues where it talks about the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Mm-hmm. Or again, the head can't say to the feet, well, I don't need you. Mm-hmm. Right? Not everybody has every gift, because it helps show us the importance that we need everybody, because people are going to be gifted in different ways.
Certainly.
And so we might have more than one. We won't have all of them. But again, one of the big importances of the gifts is the unity of the body. I think that's mm-hmm. why this is in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Now, he does speak, Paul here speaks to desiring particular gifts, mm-hmm. Or even praying for them. And so I do think, sometimes we feel like it's just a lottery. Mm-hmm. You get what you get and, you don't throw a fit. But I think we can desire, it says we can desire or pray for particular gifts. Mm-hmm. And... Now we're gonna talk more about that, because again, I think people's natural inclination with that is going to be, well, I like the sounding of this gift, so mm-hmm. I want to pray for that because that sounds cool, and I want, mm-hmm. and so it becomes more of a, well, this is what I want instead of what God wants out of this gift, mm-hmm. and so gifts are given for God to use in your life. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to spiritual gifts. There are three passages that list them out. Mm-hmm. Now, what's interesting, so it's, if you want to look this up, Romans 12, 6 through 8, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11, and then a second time in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28. none of these lists contain the exact same spiritual gifts.
And that was going to be my question. You already answered it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. They don't contain, and this is one of the issues when studying spiritual gifts, is what it seems to point to in the fact that I think that's intentional. Mm-hmm. I think they intentionally don't, because these lists are not designed to be exhaustive. Mm-hmm. I think if they were all the same, we would think of them as an exhaustive list. These are the gifts that exist.
And that's it.
And that's it. I don't think these are supposed to be exhaustive. And so with this, though, there are some common ones that we see. So let me go through and talk about some of these. So there's prophecy, mm-hmm. Which is not telling the future. Mm-hmm. I really struggle with that, because it's not just telling the future.
I hear you.
More importantly than telling the future, it's God's word to you for His people. Mm-hmm. That's prophecy. Mm-hmm. In a supernatural sense. And so we shouldn't get it confused with like my teaching on a Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. That's not prophecy. Mm-hmm. There's serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leadership, mercy, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, words of wisdom being discernment and how to apply scripture, kind of like mm-hmm. we talked about in the first question. Mm-hmm. Word of knowledge is maybe just a more general understanding of maybe a situation or a passage of scripture. Mm-hmm. Faith, healing. Faith is a weird one mm-hmm. Because we're like, well, shouldn't everybody have faith?
And one would think.
And yes, everybody does have faith, but there are some people, right? We talked about faith being stepping into God's mm-hmm. comfortably
in action. Yeah.
Yes. There are some people that are better at that. Mm-hmm. While we might all have faith, there are some people that are going to be more naturally willing to step out into mm-hmm. action in their trust in God.
Interesting.
And so healing, miraculous powers, of a variety of things. There's different examples of that in scripture. Mm-hmm. Discerning of spirits, which is not necessarily like a, I think we typically think of that as like in a mystical sense mm-hmm. of, oh, there's a spirit in this room. Like, no, mm-hmm. that's not what it's talking about. Mm-hmm. It's talking about being able to discern what type of spirit is behind someone. Mm-hmm. And so, right, in our day and age, we deal a lot with false prophets. Mm-hmm. Someone with the gift of discerning spirits is going to be able to tell if it is God driving someone or if it is Satan driving someone. Mm-hmm. That's what it's talking about.
Interesting.
Not necessarily in the sense of possession, but in a... in their actions, they are either serving God or serving Satan. Mm-hmm. And someone with the gift of discerning spirits is going to be able to have a better understanding of which of the two those people are doing that.
Interesting.
Gift of tongues. Not going to get into all of that today. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe in another episode.
Maybe we'll have another question for that in the future.
Interpretation of tongues. And then one that's... just kind of described as helps, mm-hmm. Which is like serving and like mercy in the sense mm-hmm. that some people are just naturally gifted in finding ways to help people well.
Mm-hmm. Would that, in your opinion, would that also include financially, or is there any translation that...
That also goes into, because there was the giving one as well, generosity mm-hmm. Is a spiritual gift as well.
Certainly.
And so, now, again... this is not an exhaustive list, mm-hmm. and I think that's really important. Mm-hmm. It is not an exhaustive list. These are just examples that are given. I think one that's not mentioned that I think could be a spiritual gift is prayer. Mm-hmm. If you've been in the church for any length of time, you meet people who seemingly have a supernatural gift in how they pray. Mm-hmm. You know, we often call them prayer warriors mm-hmm. just because they are so in tune with their prayer life and have such a way of communicating with God mm-hmm. That it seems supernaturally given and it seems to be something from the Spirit. And so I think, you know, that's an example of something that's not listed but might be considered for some a spiritual gift that is given.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Now, large debate that I'm going to bring up and then walk away from.
Let's go. Let's rip that Band-Aid.
Yeah. I'm going to rip it off, throw a bunch of questions in the air, and this is how we're going to sustain the podcast, is every episode, I'm just going to open up another bag of worms for people to ask questions about.
Yeah.
A large debate that these play a role in is in... there's two kind of camps. Mm-hmm. There's more than two, but the two big ones... are cessationists mm-hmm. and continuationists. Mm-hmm. Now, cessationists are under the school of thought that the miraculous gifts, or they might say the apostolic gifts, which would be healing, tongues, speaking mm-hmm. in tongues, prophecy, even described in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14 as the higher mm-hmm. Gifts, have ceased with the apostolic age.
So we don't see them anymore.
Yeah, you wouldn't see them anymore. That their purpose was to establish the church and give credence to their ministry.
So like when you say apostolic age, are you saying like this school of thought, they have like a certain century where they think that everything, like the water faucet just got shut off?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it... part of this has to do with our understanding of the word apostle.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, when I talk about apostles, it is only those. The apostles were specific people that you can read about in the book of Acts that were mainly made up of the 12 disciples and then others who had a connection with Jesus and his ministry. They are the sent ones.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were given, the idea of cessationism is that they were given particular gifts to establish the church, those specific people, and in that early time. And so, and this is connects with the idea of why Jesus did miracles.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus did miracles to establish the truth that he was telling, that he was the Son of God, the Messiah to come. And so... so it connects with that. So when the apostles died and the early church was established, the Spirit stopped giving those particular gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other side of this are the continuationists, which are essentially that those higher gifts, these miraculous gifts, still exist and are still present and useful for the church today.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this large debate, and that's the gist of it. I'm not going to say any more because we're going to run out of time.
Yeah.
And so,
and if you know of anything, you know, to continue the discussion, by all means, leave a comment in the comment sections below. If you're watching this online or if you're listening to the podcast, drop a comment. You know, when you're driving in the when you're driving, heaven forbid, but you get what I know. You get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because we'd be interested to hear stories and, you know, just to hear what your thoughts are too. So.
Yep. Yeah. Phone number should be in the description of the video or the podcast.
So. Yep. We'll include that.
Yep. So with all of that being said, having a kind of a general understanding of spiritual gifts, here's how I would suggest going about finding spiritual gifts.
Mm-hmm.
You are not going to find them sitting back and waiting.
Sitting on the sidelines.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to get in the game.
And part of this is, again, this idea that they're not for us. They are for the mission of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of it, you know, it's like if someone had superpowers, right? You never hear... of a superhero sitting back and waiting to have superheroes and to go superpowers and then go start doing stuff.
Right.
Right. It's always in the midst of doing things that they are miraculously given abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's being bitten by something radioactive, falling into a vat of something, whatever it might be. I think it's the exact same with spiritual gifts. If you're sitting at home, waiting for something to happen, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so my biggest advice is to be praying, not just for particular gifts. Don't just go pray for opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for God to open your eyes to what he needs.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're going around the church and you see, man, they really need help in the children's ministry. And you're like, that horrifies me. Like, I have no desire to help in the children's ministry. Kids bite, they spit, they're scary. And so maybe you're like, man, there's this need though. God, would you help me be able to fill that need? And so maybe you go and you volunteer and you're uncomfortable at first, but you're gonna continue to pray, God, help me in this. I think it's in those moments that you might discover spiritual gifts. Maybe God is going to give you the gift of mercy to be able to have mercy on the parents, the other adult leaders, Or maybe on a kid who's having a rough day. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you'll find that you have a gift of teaching. Mm-hmm. And it's, again, this isn't something that's necessarily always been there, mm-hmm. but it's something that you are given for the situation that you are in. Mm-hmm. And so a you know, more real life example of this is, you know, a couple years ago, I stepped into, you know, the lead pastor role here at the church. Mm-hmm. And that's horrifying to me. right? Like youth pastors have it so good because they get to play fun games. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of dealing with parents and students, so it's not all rainbows and sunshine.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's so many situations where I get to pass the buck as a youth pastor.
Sure.
Because ultimately, I am not the big leader. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I get to pass some responsibility. You know, as the lead pastor, there's a lot of need for spiritual gifts. And so, you know, one of the things I mentioned is the gift of leadership. Mm-hmm. And that's something I've been praying for. Mm-hmm. You know, that God, this is not my natural mm-hmm. self. I am not a ultra decisive, mm-hmm. let me step out in front and show the way. So God, please. The church was in need. I felt like this is an opportunity for me to step into this. Mm-hmm. Now, please help me. I pray that this is something, it was something that I felt God desired me to step into. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just something that I wanted to, but I did feel it was God desiring of that of me. Mm-hmm. So now God, please help me with that.
Yeah.
Please gift me to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and I think even, you know, with you, Matt, you know, you talked about, you know, leading worship is something that has taken.
It's been insane.
Yeah. And it wasn't something that, you know, you'd really done a whole lot of specifically leading in front of a congregation kind of before all this whole scenario.
Yeah, that's right. I've always done stuff with like youth ministry for worship bands and stuff, but I was always a bass player.
Sure.
And so I wasn't used to being a front man,
yeah.
you know, air quotes, at all. And then, you know, COVID hits and it's just like, oh snap, we don't have a worship pastor. Yeah. Just because and he wanted to start out on a new church plant, or, you know, and by all means that's great, and he's doing extremely well and he's a phenomenal guy, and it's just like, am I ready for this, you know? And honestly, kudos and huge thank you to Professor Mike Cahill, if he's watching this, for taking a step of faith and believing in me, because he saw something in me that I wasn't sure if I saw it myself. And 5 years later, we're still doing it.
Yeah.
So it's been a tremendous blessing. And then even something like high school Sunday school, I was scared spitless to do that, because that had just been something I'd never ever saw myself doing. But, you know, and I'm interested in hearing your thoughts on it. It seems like, based off the scripture in, you know, 1 Corinthians 12, 27, you know, now you are the body of the Christ and each one of you is a part of it. It makes me think that, you know, in the question that you asked earlier, it seems to me like God enables people to step up in moments where that local body needs to have an extra part.
Yes.
Like if there's a part missing, he finds someone or he gives someone a gift to make that body complete. Yeah. And, you know, we didn't have, a worship leader at the time. I said, okay, God, I, you see something that I don't, I'll give it a shot. And we're, you know, leading worship on a flatbed in front of like what looks like a Cars Pixar movie.
Yeah.
And then, you know, with high school ministry too. And it's just, it's been a blessing to be able to be a part of that. And it's been phenomenal. And so even just a call to our congregation, or if you're part of another congregation, if you feel like God is tugging on your heart to take a step of faith and to volunteer in a place where you're not sure if it's going to work or not, you're not going to lose out on anything if you at least try.
Yeah.
You know, and it might be something that you absolutely love and you end up doing it for several years. So.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And I think this isn't just an individual thing of we should be praying for. I think as a church, if we notice we are lacking this. Mm-hmm. We need to be praying, God, either put that in me so I can do that, mm-hmm. or please provide someone to step in so that we can have that role and we can be more well-rounded, that we can be a stronger body for it, and having that in our church.
No question.
And I think otherwise it's going to be some trial and error.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be praying, God, help me in this need that I see that maybe you've helped me see. Mm-hmm. Or if that's not working out, maybe you do take a leap of faith and step into something for a time. Mm-hmm. There's been so many times where maybe someone wasn't gifted in that, but they helped in a way that bridged the gap until someone who was able to come in and fill that. And then they could go and find another opportunity to serve in. Mm-hmm. I think that's huge.
Yeah.
And so, it's going to be some trial and error of, I'm going to look for opportunities. I'm going to pray for opportunities. Mm-hmm. I'm going to see a need. I'm going to try and step into a need, and I'm going to pray that God helps me in that. Mm-hmm. And maybe he does for a season. And then maybe it's time to step away and find a different one. Mm-hmm. And that's good. And so that's the other thing, with these that I think is important. I don't think they're stationary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, you have a set gifts and you'll never have anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when we look at the examples of Scripture and how the Spirit used people, a lot of times the Spirit came on people, help them through a situation, and then, that was what it was for. And so, I think there are times where we are going to receive gifts for a season,
mm-hmm.
so that we can help in this particular need. And then when that season is done, maybe we'll be given a different gift to help in a different season, and that other one, will transition out or whatever.
Amen.
And so there's no test.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, you can't just... count on your natural gifting, your natural talents to help identify these. I think it's a lot of prayer and trial and error.
Do you think there's merit in, if you're struggling with knowing or figuring out what your spiritual gift is, going to someone within the church and saying, hey, do you notice something in me that I don't see in myself? Or is it better to go to seek counsel from an elder or someone else that's been in church longer, or what would that process look like?
Yeah. No, I think that's great. And I thank you for bringing that up.
Or to seek out a counselor.
I think if you find a wise, trusted Christian in your life, who can help say, hey, I want to help. I don't know where to help. Where do you think would be good for me?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that'll be a moment where that person will be given, the gift of words of wisdom,
mm-hmm.
Of, hey, let me speak into your life, mm-hmm. and offer you some wisdom that can help guide you in this.
Sure.
And so I think there's 100% value, mm-hmm. in something of that such. Again, I think the biggest thing with this is kind of maybe the theme for this episode,
mm-hmm.
Is if God gives you the wisdom, or if someone helps you see the wisdom of, I need you here, I think you should go here,
mm-hmm.
You need to be able to have the faith and the trust of, mm-hmm. I'm going to step into this because this is the wisdom that I'm receiving, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to have faith, and I'm going to trust God.
Yeah.
And I think we need more people that are willing in that sense, mm-hmm. There's going to be times where you might be asked, hey, I want you to step into something that's not your comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need people that are willing to say, okay, I will try. Mm-hmm. I will try and fill this need, and I'm going to pray every day that God helps me with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, I think we are at a spot where we're going to close for today. I just want to say thank you for taking the time to watch this episode. If you're watching on YouTube, or if you're listening online with, I think we're on Spotify. And what else are we on now?
Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music.
Excellent. So we're expanding our reach a little bit. And if you guys could give us a like, comment, subscribe, let us know what we can do to make this podcast better. We want to just engage with our community, with our congregation, with our audience as best as possible. And if you have any questions, be sure to send them to the phone number below in the description. We're going to put that in there. And no question is too big, too small. There's no such thing as a silly question. We just want to get to know you guys better. We want to dive into Scripture and see what God has to say about the questions that we're trying to put forth. And as always, thanks again for joining, and we will see you in the next episode. Have a great rest of your week, and happy Easter.